Exodus chapter 13. The Lord speaks to Israel just prior to leading them through the Red Sea. That's chapter 14. So God has taken them out of their bondage, but not completely out of the land of Egypt yet at this point. Exodus 13, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place, there shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the month Abib. And it shall be, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thy right hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. And it shall be, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast. The males shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among the children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What is this? That thou shalt say unto him, By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males. But all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes. For by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, Lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. Now the text for the sermon are the last two verses. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So far we read God's holy word. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, did you ever wish that God would reveal himself to us by some concrete, visible manifestation that you could say, there God has revealed himself? That God would show you by that manifestation something of his glory. That by that physical manifestation, God would show you that he is with you. If God would come here in a visible way and stand before us in his glory, surely it would be easy for us to remember as we are here in worship that we stand before God, that we worship him. And if God would do this in our life day after day and lead us through the troubles and the trials and through all of the difficulties of life, we could be assured then that God was with us. That if in fact we are in trouble, it is God who has led us here and he will lead us through this and be sure that we come out the other side. He will strengthen us. That at times when we have doubts, that we could look at that visible manifestation and say, no, God is here with me. He has not forsaken me. And that there would be a concrete evidence that we could say, yes, God exists. We could even say to the unbeliever, there is God, don't you see? He does exist. Israel had such a visible manifestation of God in that pillar that rose up high into the air, the pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They had that, a visible manifestation of the presence of God in their camp in Israel. The first time this was mentioned, this pillar of cloud and pillar of fire, is right here in Exodus chapter 13. As God led Israel out of the land of Egypt, we read of this pillar of cloud and of fire. The Lord went before them, and he would do this for the next 40 years. In all of their wilderness wanderings, the Lord would be present with them, with this pillar of cloud and of fire. And all in Israel could see this every single day. Wouldn't that be nice to have something visible like that, that you could look at and say, there is God, he is with us. None of us would want to trade places with the Israelites and live in their tents, I'm sure of that, and sleep on the hard ground, but it would be nice to have something that would be a visible manifestation of God's presence and his leading of us day by day. As we face another year, we might especially be wishing for something concrete like that. The future is unknown to us. We will have to make decisions on things that are difficult. And we want to know as we make these decisions, what is God's will? We want God to lead us and to guide us in such a way that we make the right choice. There may be some major changes in our life, things that are unsettling to us. We want to be able to know that God is the one that is leading us, and how should we react to these major changes? Unsettling changes. Judging from the past, the year 2018 will have times of joy and times of sorrow. There will be struggles, there will be difficulties. And it would be wonderful if we had a concrete manifestation of God so we could be sure God is leading me, not on my own. He's directing my life. Well, as we face another year, we do so with the confidence that, in fact, God is with us, that He never forsakes us. No, we don't have that pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire that is leading and directing every step of the way, but God is with us, as we will see, through Jesus Christ, by His Word and Spirit. And so as we look ahead to another year, we know that as really as Israel had God's presence with them, so do we. We take then as the theme for the sermon this morning, facing the year 2018, the Lord going before, because that's the first words of the text, and the Lord went before them. And that's how we face the year 2018, the Lord going before. Well, notice in the first place, unfailing leadership. God is leading unfailingly. He's always there leading. Secondly, we'll notice the infallible guidance. God guides infallibly. And then thirdly, the gracious presence of God. The gracious presence of God. First of all, unfailing leading and leadership. Israel's leader was God Himself. And the text uses specifically the name Jehovah and the Lord in all in capital letters, and the Lord went before them. And that's significant that the Bible uses that particular name, because the names of God tell us something about God, and God has not simply used them arbitrarily. So in this verse, it is the Lord that goes before Israel. It is Jehovah. And when God first announced that this was the name He wanted Israel to know Him by, when He came to Moses at the burning bush, He said specifically, "This is My name. I am that I am." And that tells us something about God that's significant for this verse. First of all, "I am that I am" means that this God is absolutely independent. I am that I am. I depend on no one. God informs us that He has always been. God informs us that He has no beginning, that no one gave Him life, that no one gave Him existence. I am, He says. That's who I am. I am that I am, and no one influences me, and I am because I am God. I always existed. In addition to that, "I am that I am" indicates that this God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am that I am. I have no change. All of us are changing even as we sit here this morning. Our bodies are going through changes, but God does not change. I am, He says. That's My name. In addition to that, then, based on all of that, is this God is sovereign. No one can touch Him. No one can influence Him. No one can say to Him, "What are you doing and why are you doing this?" I am that I am. God is sovereign, absolutely independent of everything around Him. So that we learn about this God: independent, unchanging, sovereign. But it's very appropriate then that this is also His covenant name. This is the name that He always emphasizes when He's talking about the fact that He is the covenant God of Israel, because of His unchanging faithfulness within the covenant. When God makes a promise, not only is He sovereign so that He can keep that promise, but He is unchanging. Unchanging. The promise that He gives will never fail. It will never be altered. It is changeless because God is changeless. And that means that if God loves someone, He has always loved them. He is changeless. And the love of God never changes. It never grows weak. It never grows stronger. It is always a powerful love. If He has loved you today, if He loves you today, He has always loved you, and He will love you forever. So comforting is the name Lord as a covenant name. He establishes His covenant with believers and their seed, and it's an everlasting, unchanging covenant of grace. Jehovah Himself goes before Israel as He leads them out of Egypt. He leads them into blessed covenant fellowship with Himself. Out of their bondage, unto a precious covenant heritage. He did that. He led them by a pillar of cloud and of fire. Now, when God chooses to have a visible representation of Himself, you can well believe that this was not arbitrary. Why that? Why a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire? Well, first of all, the cloud itself covers. It obscures something. When the Israelites looked at that pillar of cloud, they never saw a shape. There was no form there that they would be able later on to say, let's make an image like the thing that we saw there when God manifested Himself. No, it was a cloud. It had no permanent shape. There was no form that they could draw out of that and say, let's make an image of God, because God has no form. So that's appropriate from that point of view. But in addition to that, the cloud indicates elevation above. The clouds are always above us. As the heavens are high above the earth, so the clouds are above us, indicating the exalted nature of God. He is not of the earth. He is not a creature. God is exalted. The Psalms speak of the fact that God clothes Himself with thick clouds. And it indicates that the glory of God is being somewhat covered by these clouds. If God would come to Israel in the fullness of His glory, that glory would so terrify them, they would run, as they did when God came on the mountain of Sinai. They ran away from the voice of God. So God had to, as it were, cover up His great glory by means of the cloud. They could see no form. They knew that He is exalted. And they knew that the glory of God was being hidden by the cloud. But then there's the fire at night, the pillar of fire. And that's significant too, because fire points to the purity of God. It points to the holiness of God. It reminded Israel that the God that is among them is not like they are. They are polluted. They are corrupt. God is a consuming fire. He is holy. And He hates iniquity. He is a God of purity. He is a God too pure of eye to behold iniquity. He is a jealous God. He is a God who would consume their enemies before them. He is a God who is light. He would lighten the darkness of Israel with His own light, the fire of the pillar of fire. And light points to life. It points to favor. It points to fellowship with God. So there were many things that Israel ought to behold, ought to think about as they would behold this pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night concerning God Himself. God was there. The text says specifically, and the Lord went before them in that pillar. He was there. You see that in the next chapter. In chapter 14, verse 24, we read, "And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians." God was there looking, as it were, through that pillar in his wrath against the Egyptians, and they were troubled to behold it. Now you say, of course, God is everywhere. God isn't limited to one place. God is beyond the creation. And yet in a certain special way, God was there with Israel, and he was there particularly in and through the angel of Jehovah. You children know that angel of Jehovah, how the angel of Jehovah is like the Old Testament Christ before Christ took upon himself flesh. He would sometimes come to Israel in the form of an angel, a special angel, the angel of the Lord. We read of that again in the very next chapter in Exodus 14, verse 19. We read, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them." This is before even they crossed over the Red Sea completely. "And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face." You see, so the angel of Jehovah, who was leading them, was before them, and the pillar of cloud both went behind them now and stood between the Egyptians and the Israelites. The pillar of cloud, the angel of God, stood between them. The angel of Jehovah, the angel of God, is the, as I said, the Old Testament pre-incarnate, before he took on himself flesh, Christ. And that means he is God's representative to save his people. He would take on himself the name Jesus, Jehovah Salvation. That's who he was. God was leading Israel, therefore, with a view to their salvation. Tremendously significant that the angel of Jehovah was leading them. The Lord then goes before them as a shepherd leads his sheep. A shepherd doesn't go behind the sheep. A shepherd doesn't try to drive the sheep ahead of him. He goes in front of the flock. He leads them. He guides them. He brings them into right paths. The angel of the Lord was like a shepherd. God didn't simply issue commands down from heaven saying, "Go south" or "Go west." God didn't merely speak to Moses and tell him where they should go. God went before them. He was with them. He would lead them. He would guide them. He would protect them. Years later, after 40 years of wandering, Moses reminded the people of this. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, as they stood at the door of Canaan a second time, we read that Moses reminds them, "Then I said unto you," Deuteronomy 1 verse 29, "I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them," the people of Canaan. "The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you. He has gone before you all through the wilderness. He will go before you into Canaan." As he said a little later in that same chapter, Deuteronomy 1, verse 32-33, "Who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you by what way ye should go, and in a cloud by day." God was ahead of them. He was leading them. He was guiding them, protecting them. And so at the door of Canaan now a second time, Deuteronomy 31, Moses can confidently say, "Be strong, be of a good courage, Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. They could be absolutely confident that the Lord would be with them, leading them, guiding them. The same promise and testimony is found in Isaiah 63. Beautiful chapter. Could read much more, but let's just read verse 9 of Isaiah 63, verse 9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence, remember that's the angel again, the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Every step of the way, God was there with them as the angel of his presence, as their Savior. God was with Israel. It's very plain when you consider where God would lead them, how he was taking them out of the land of Egypt, out of that cruel bondage of Egypt, and how he was taking them and now would soon lead them through the Red Sea. And by so doing, they would be in a way baptized unto God, separated from Egypt and consecrated unto God. Would bring them into the wilderness deliberately. He could have taken them directly into Canaan. Verse 17 says that specifically. When Pharaoh had led the people go, God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, though that was near. He could have gone directly through the Philistines to Canaan, but he didn't. He led them instead south until they were trapped there, as we'll see. God separated them from the land of Egypt, and he cared for them all the way through the wilderness. 40 years of wandering, gave them the water they need, gave them the manna they need, cared for them through it all. And into the land of Canaan he would lead them, a type of heaven, a place of fellowship with God. Now all of that's picture. That's a picture for us. Israel was led out of the land of bondage. We have been in the land of bondage, in the land of sin and death. We have been delivered from that corruption and from that bondage. God led us through Jesus Christ. He delivered us out of that bondage by the death of Jesus Christ. We have been baptized into Jesus Christ. We have been separated from the world. We have been consecrated unto God as Israel was led through the Red Sea. Our Red Sea is the cross of Jesus Christ and his blood. And God is with us. He is with us by his Spirit. He is with us through Jesus Christ. God is never forsaking us. At Pentecost, God, first of all, before Pentecost, Jesus came into this world and he took upon himself human flesh. And then when he ascended into heaven, he sent forth the Spirit, and the Spirit now lives within us. God is with us by the Spirit of Jesus Christ and by his Word. And in many ways, we have it far better than Israel, because Israel was like a servant. God would simply lead them step by step. But now God informs us. He talks to us and he tells us where we should go by his Word. And we are as sons and daughters. He is ever with us. His Word is in our hearts. As Israel was never forsaken by God, so we are never forsaken by him either. God is with us. And he is guiding us. That's the second thing that we notice in the text. God guided Israel by the pillar of cloud and of fire. God it was that led Israel day by day. The exact path that Israel would take was known only to God. Even Moses didn't know where they were going. Step by step, God led them. And at night, he would give them light. It was most striking at the Red Sea that the pillar of cloud and fire not only came from before Israel and went behind them, but that it was darkness to the Egyptians and that it was light to the Israelites. The same pillar was a cloud of darkness to the Egyptians and light to the Israelites. God separated Israel from Egypt. The light, of course, points to life, and the darkness points to the death that God was about to bring upon the enemies of Israel. God was in the pillar, giving death to the Egyptians and life and favor to the Israelites. And that wasn't true merely of the Red Sea, but all through their wanderings, God was there as a light in the midst of the darkness of the wilderness. God was there giving them light. The pillar determined the entire life of Israel. Whenever they were at rest, the pillar of cloud was there, present in the camp. If the cloud lifted from the tabernacle, then the people knew it was time to pack up their tents because the cloud was about to move ahead of them and they had to follow. That was their signal. If the cloud did not lift up, then they knew they were not moving, not an inch. As they traveled, the cloud was there, leading them day after day. When it stopped, Israel stopped. When it moved, Israel moved. They were determined. Their life was determined by that cloud that was leading them day by day. And God led them. God led them deliberately, led them in such a way that he would teach them and that he would show them that he is the God of their salvation. As we pointed out earlier, God led them not north into Canaan, but south so that they were trapped with the mountains on one side and the Red Sea on the other side and Pharaoh coming at them with all his host, with his army to destroy them. And God led them there directly to show them the powerful salvation that he had in store for them, leading them through the wilderness. And then right after the Red Sea, he led them to a place called Marah, where the water was too bitter to drink. And he turned that water to sweetness by putting a tree into it, instructing Moses to do that, showing Israel, this is the way I will lead you. There will be times of much bitterness, but I will turn them into spiritual sweetness for you. I will be there for you, caring for you. He led them next to Elim, where there were many palm trees and wells of water, enough for the whole nation of Israel to be cared for. God showing them once again, I will provide for you. And he did that time and again. In the wilderness, there was not enough food for them to eat. But God provided for them manna day after day. And when they came to Rephidim and there was not enough water, there was no water for them to drink, God gave them water out of the rock and provided for every person and animal that was there. When the Amalekites attacked them and Israel was put to the worst, God showed them that his power was there as Moses held up the rod of God's power. And as long as the rod of God's power was held high, Israel defeated Amalek. God was there, caring for them, saving them. He deliberately guided them step by step to demonstrate that he is the God of their salvation. Preparing them for Canaan. That's what his goal was, ultimately to bring them to the land of Canaan. God guiding them, teaching them, saving them by his mighty power. Israel is a type of the church. Israel is the church. But what happened to Israel is also typical, pointing ahead to the church of the new dispensation, pointing ahead to us today. Do you see how this applies to us? God guides us. He guides us. Not by the Old Testament figure of a pillar of cloud or a pillar of fire. That's not how God works in the New Testament church. But in the reality, the fulfillment of that pillar of cloud and fire, which is Jesus Christ. That's how God guides us today. Jesus, who came into the flesh in order to save his people, there is our salvation in the cross of Jesus Christ. And because he accomplished the salvation of his people, God lifted him up and exalted him to the height of power and glory, so that he now rules over all the affairs of men. And he's the head of the church. He's the one who will lead and guide the church as your head leads and guides the body. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And by his Spirit, he is present in the church. On Pentecost, he poured out the Spirit so that Jesus is truly present with us. And he leads us very really. He leads us through the wilderness of this world. Notice how that is so appropriate. In the first place, because as God was leading and guiding Israel and taking them every step of the way exactly where he wanted them, Jesus Christ is in full control. He's in absolute sovereign control over every aspect of your life and mine. There isn't anything that happened in the last year that was by chance. It happened exactly as he determined it. And as you look ahead to the year 2018, nothing changes. He is in sovereign control. Nothing will happen by chance to you this year. He will direct you. Are you having trouble? Jesus led you there. He determined it. Do you have joy in your life and plenty? Jesus is the one that determined it. Whatever it is that you have in your life right now, he's the one who controls it. But he also guides us. And now he guides us by his word and by his Spirit. It is the preaching of the gospel in particular by which Jesus speaks to us and directs our feet. And the Holy Spirit, taking that word, applies it to our hearts, gives us the wisdom that we need as we seek to walk in a way that is pleasing to Jesus Christ. Not a pillar of cloud, but by his word and Spirit, Jesus is guiding us, giving us infallible guidance, never mistaken. We are mistaken because we do not listen to the word. We are mistaken because we are prone to every error as the Israelites were. But the guidance of Jesus Christ by his word and Spirit is absolutely infallible. And it's better by far than what the Israelites had. We might think, wouldn't it be nice if we had this pillar of cloud to lead and guide us as a congregation, to lead and guide us as a family or as an individual of the church? But that's just the figure. The reality is Jesus Christ. He is the angel of God. He is Jesus Christ who was sent to save us and to lead and guide us. And the reality is always better than the picture. By the cloud, God would lead, but he would rarely speak to the people of God. He would not inform them of where they were going and why he was leading them in this way. Israel were like little children. They had to be taken by the hand. And God would say, now just follow me. And the cloud would go up and it would move and the people might wonder, where are we going? Where are we going? And nobody knew. They only had to follow. That's all they could ever do, was just walk in the footsteps,
following behind the cloud, not knowing why, not knowing where, just follow like little children. The guidance God gave came through object lessons. They had to learn the hard way, time and again, as God led them through the wilderness. But we have the preaching. We have the Lord speaking to us. We have the Lord setting before us His will, what is pleasing to Him, how He wants us to live, how we have been saved in the blood of Jesus Christ, where we are going and what's in store for us. We have the Word of God, which comes to us every week to preach to us, and the Word of God that we can read in our homes. This is our guide. Listen to the psalmist. Psalms 43, verse 3. O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. That's our prayer. Send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. We're on our way to heaven. We're on our way to life with God. Let the light and the truth of God lead us there. That's Psalm 43:3. Or Psalm 143, verse 10. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. God treats us not as little children. He treats us as adults, as sons and daughters of God who can understand. He shows us His will. He shows us how we are to live. And then He said, now apply that to your life. Whatever troubles I lead you into, whatever sorrows that are in front of you, whatever your life contains, live in harmony with my will. I've shown you what my will is for you. He gives us understanding. He gives us, by His Spirit, the desire to walk in obedience and the ability to walk in obedience. He leads and guides us every step of our life. He does this regularly. With Old Testament Israel, God only occasionally would speak to them. Mostly it was leading them by the hand, as it were. But God comes to us every week, and He speaks to us in the preaching of the gospel, and He gives us the word that we can study on our own. Infallible guidance God gives us. This is our pillar of cloud, which leads us day by day through this life. This is our pillar of fire that lightens our way and that reminds us of the favor of God, not only the holiness of God, but His favor. In His favor there is life. This is what He shows to us week after week. Oh, it's true that pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire, that was majestic. It was glorious. It was something Israel could look at and say, there is God. He is with us. But the preaching of the gospel sets forth the majesty and the glory of Jesus Christ, exalted in the throne of heaven, and says, there is your God, and He is a God who is with you by His Spirit. We wonder sometimes how Israel could commit such horrible sins, and how they could murmur when there is that pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire right in their presence. How could they possibly murmur against God? How could they possibly walk in ways of iniquity when God was right there? But people of God, God is with us. And He talks to us week after week. And yet we murmur against God. And there are times when we say to ourselves, well, I don't have to listen to what the minister said this morning. That's just his opinion.
instead of hearing it as the word of God to us, showing us his will, showing us what is pleasing to him. It's far worse for us, because the pillar was only leading them, as it were, almost blindly, that they simply had to follow. And God speaks to us as adults, as mature Christians, who have to follow him. God gives infallible guidance in our pathway of life. But he is with us with his gracious presence. Let's not overlook that. This is really beautiful in this text. God was with them as he was with no other nation under the heavens, because God loved them. Verse 22, we read that he took not away the pillar of cloud. He didn't take it away. He never forsook Israel, never once. They deserved it. They often rebelled against him. God could have easily forsaken them in the wilderness and let them all die there, but he never forsook them. Even in the land of Canaan, when they rebelled, he did not forsake them. He always remained graciously with his people. He kept his word. He led them. He fed them. He caused the clothes on their back and the shoes on their feet never to wear out all through the 40 years that he was with them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud went before them. And that's a beautiful expression there, before them, because it is literally to their faces. God was, as it were, before the very faces of Israel. And that doesn't mean merely that they could see it. That's part of it, that it was not behind them, but what it was in front of their faces. But the idea of faces in the Old Testament always includes the idea of covenant fellowship. As two people that are face to face, and they have a beautiful conversation together. That's the idea. God was to the face of Israel. He was graciously with them as a covenant God, having fellowship with them even in the wilderness. They could never say, "Where is Jehovah?" He was right there. He was right in front of their faces. God was always there. And so he led them at day with the pillar of cloud and at night with the fire giving them light. God was there as a covenant God, a God who was a friend to them, a God who was not merely a burning fire of holiness, but a God who was light and life to Israel. He led them through the wilderness. People of God, the same thing is true of us. God is not merely among us. God is not merely giving us infallible guidance by his word and spirit. God is with us graciously, graciously. Don't ever forget that. As we face another year, we need to be reminded of that. We do not know what this year will entail. What troubles will you face? What temptations will rise up in your life? What sorrows await you and await me? God will lead us, and that way is not often a way of ease and a way filled with simply joys and pleasures. There will be difficulties. Some of us will be tried, as it were, by fire and be tempted in times of trouble to murmur against God and against his way with us. There will be difficult decisions. We will struggle to know what is God's will. We want to do what God wants us to do as we make these decisions. There will be decisions that require sacrifice and tears, and we may wonder, has the Lord forgotten us? Does the Lord still love us? Is he leading us in mercy? He seems so hard. He seems so distant. But he has not forsaken us. He never will. He abides with us graciously. And if you ever doubt that, as we do, in our sinfulness, in our weakness, then look at the cross. And there you see the love of God. A love that was willing to send his own Son to die for us. We must never doubt his love. We must never doubt his faithfulness. If he was willing to give his Son to the death of the cross, surely there isn't anything that can separate us from that love of God. There isn't anything that can never turn him away from us or make him no longer be gracious toward us. He is graciously with us. And the word of Jesus Christ, there is our cloudy pillar and pillar of fire. He will be leading us, using the preaching, giving us direction in our life, giving us instruction as to the will of God, continually reminding us of the love of Christ and the promises of salvation. And then that pillar of cloud rests not on a tabernacle, but upon the tabernacle of our hearts. And the Spirit is there inside of us, giving us wisdom and strength. I do not know what the new year holds for you or for me. I don't want to know. But I do know, and you must know, that Jehovah will not forsake you. He will go before you with his gracious presence, as he did with Israel all through their wanderings. And that is enough for us. Amen.